Welcome to NADX, the all-new NADX experiment. Never accept darkness experiment. I feel like that is a mouthful, sir.
It is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Try it.
Never accept darkness.
Shh. That's enough, sir. You tasted enough of that cookie. Welcome to the new NADX experiment. Again, I am your host, Dan Nelson.
And I'm Corey Roach.
And this is the second podcast, so if you didn't get to listen to the first podcast, please go back and do that first, or listen to it later on. But to get a good feel of where we're going with this, maybe start out with the first one. And real quick, for those of you that listened in last week, I just quickly want to say, with Audioboo, this site that we are doing these podcasts on, you can make a free account. You do not have to pay to post comments and stuff like that, so if you'd like to give us some feedback on our Audioboo, aka podcast, you can do that. Give us some feedback. Give us some of your ideas, some things that you might want to hear about, some things that you don't want to hear about. Give us your constructive criticism, but definitely leave your little trolley bad comments at home, because I don't want to hear something stupid like, oh my God, I listened to your 30-minute podcast and I fell asleep. Well, first of all, it's only 30 minutes, so thank you for listening to the whole thing, sir. And second of all, quit wasting my time. I don't really care what you have to say. Okay?
Yep.
This is for people that are interested in hearing what I, myself, and Corey Roach have to say.
Exactly.
We are going to be adding some other people to the show, some comics and stuff, and we'll get into that later. But like I said, go listen to the first podcast, come back and listen to this podcast, and also real quick, I want to say you can download our podcast on iTunes.
Yep. Just go to iTunes.com, type in NADX, and it'll be right there.
Yep.
Link right up to it.
We are registered with the site and with iTunes, so you can download it straight onto your iTunes, iPhone, iPod. I went to the bathroom in my pants.
I kind of heard you do that.
Well,
now my chair's wet.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when I sit on your lap.
I mean, well, you know, I have a pillow in between us, and now I can feel it soaking through.
Well, why'd you bring the pillow?
It's very warm.
It's a waste of a pillow, sir.
It's not a waste.
I feel like if I'm going to half sit on your lap and half sit on the pillow, then that's...
It's to stop my...
It's redundant.
It's to stop a situation.
Okay, stop it. Okay. We've already went too far into the gay realm last week. Everybody thinks that we're queer. They're like, okay, what's up with these faggots existing and touching each other? Are they really gay? Do they really blow the skin flute?
This one kid's wearing a pixie outfit with an Iron Man bottoms.
Do you really think that people believe that?
I mean, if they knew me, they probably would believe it.
I know. And that's what I was hoping, is that they would believe the truth.
And you were wearing a busted tee last week. I still don't know what that is.
I don't know. I think I made it up. Listen, like he just said, he likes wearing costumes and stuff like that. Related to the topic tonight, by the way, because tonight the topic is going to be about identity. Your identity, my identity, people's identity, as individuals, we like to think that we are a certain thing, and we wear different masks every day to kind of get through our day and kind of, you know, shun away people, but also get people to accept us.
Yep.
And real quick, I just want to say, I'm not going to tell you who you are. I'm not going to tell you how to be. I'm just going to teach you how to find a little bit more about yourself, so maybe you can get rid of your anxiety. Maybe you can get rid of your stress.
And be more comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, and because wearing somebody else's skin is just uncomfortable. I tried it.
And unsanitary.
It's gross. So, like I said last week, I have had identity crisis. And a lot of you that know me know the goofy side of me. And, you know, throughout the past year, with the past few months, I've shown a lot more of, I don't want to say my sensitive side, because I've definitely been really rough. I want to say, like, definitely my cynic side. But the side of me that shows, like, I really do have a lot of built-up frustration and angst against the world. And a lot of that is my own issues. A lot of that is getting older. A lot of that is getting wiser. Realizing, you know, the reality sets in at some point.
Oh, definitely.
You can't bring your Pokemon Pogs and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers morphers to work all the time.
Yep, yeah.
You cannot. I leave the Pogs and Power Rangers stuff.
That's adulthood.
In my back pocket.
It's adulthood.
Is that part of adulthood?
I got kicked out of the playground because I was trying to trade my Pokemon cards to some fifth grader. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? Pokemon cards aren't in style anymore.
Well, that was me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I schooled you.
You did.
And by the way, I just want to say, is leaving my morpher in my back pocket more professional than my front pocket?
I would say back pocket.
When I get robbed, dude, I just want it there as a security blanket.
You don't
want to
flaunt
it. I never flaunt it. I only try to use it when it's necessary.
Exactly. When you see evil or...
Evil. Like my mother.
Oh, that. I had an encounter with her yesterday.
Oh, yes, you did. Well, maybe we should talk about that in a second. Wait, what kind of encounter did you have with my mom?
Vehicle.
Vehicular.
Yes.
So you guys... That's disgusting.
I was behind her.
Oh.
In my car.
Whoa, dude.
Maybe not the best choice of words.
I thought that we were best friends.
We are.
I thought that we could share things.
We can.
With each other, and not with my mother.
But she was there, and I was behind her, and
she
stopped.
Dude, it's starting to sound a lot like my conception conversation
then
that I had with
my... Then she pulled into the
doctor's office. Okay. I don't know what that means. You guys played doctor?
Well, it was operation.
Operation. So she got your bone out.
She got... Yeah, exactly.
Okay, dude.
Perfect.
If you could just move 3 to 5 miles away from me.
Well, it's...
Okay. All right. Let's get back on topic. Identity. Good example of identity is a lot of the stuff... Oh, I'm sorry. Here's your phone. A good example of identity is, lately, a lot of people, especially with technology, have been trying to be something that they're not. I mean, it is proven that, bullying in school it's went up because...
Cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying. And the problem is like, with bullying, like, it used to be, in my time anyway, and, this wasn't that long ago, I don't want to date myself... I would date myself.
Touché.
I.
You.
Yeah, I'm a good-looking guy.
Would that be considered homosexual?
No, I really don't. I think it would be, I think it's perfectly legal.
You'd be inbred.
Inbred. Okay, let's put it this way. Back when I was in school, you could, have your issues at school... But then as soon as you got on that bus or whatever, let's say right after you got off of that bus, you left your problems at school. Exactly. And then maybe you had separate problems at home, but you would never get to go sign into some site and then see this person picking on you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this is a problem with kids today, because I see a lot of kids having cell phones at age like 10 to 15 now.
I seen like a 5-year-old at work the one day. She was like, she was 5, had an iPhone.
She was 5 and had a... She doesn't even know what to do with an iPhone.
I didn't get my first iPhone until I was 19.
She doesn't even know what to do with an iPhone at that point.
Exactly.
Like, at that point, me and an iPhone would have been...
It's just an iPod that can call people.
Oh, an iPod.
Well, it was an iPhone, but...
Okay. Well, what was it? Get your story straight.
iPhone.
iPhone. With an iPod on it. But yeah, like bullies, man, they can attack you all day long now. And it's all for your friends to see and stuff like that. I mean, I honestly haven't had any issues with that. Because by the time that I got to the age where, internet was big and stuff like that, I mean, I have had people attack me.
Yeah.
On different sites, some videos.
Right.
And I've had some issues with, people trying to get one over on me online. But I never really felt like that was a big issue for me, because I felt like I could handle it appropriately. But kids at that young age really have an issue with that, and I can't imagine. But my point is you are forced to have a persona that is very pleasing to your general audience. And these sites influence people to be something that they're not. A lot of these sites influence people to post things that aren't necessarily, normal for them. Trying to appease to people, trying to make them feel comfortable with that person so they don't get picked on. So they do get looked at as a hot commodity.
Yep.
So these kids can get on these social networking sites and post about their personal lives and try to look good.
Falling to online peer pressure.
And I was reading this one article that said that the more friends that you have on Facebook, the closer do you get to having 1,000 friends, the more narcissistic you become.
Yeah.
And if you could think so, I mean, because honestly, if you have 1,000 friends and you're not a celebrity or in a band or some sort of, entertainment facet, any entertainment, if you have 1,000 friends and you're in high school and stuff like that, that is a popularity issue. That is something that That's a problem.
Yeah, literally.
And at that point,
for attention.
Statistically, it's proven that at that point, with 1,000 friends, you post more mundane bullshit.
Yep.
Than what you would had you not had that many friends. Meaning stupid pictures so you can get likes, stupid comments, things to embarrass people. You know, things that actually come on back on you and embarrass yourself.
Yep.
I've done that. A lot of people have asked me, and I guess this is the best time. A lot of people have asked me, have you ever done videos in the past that you regret posting? Have you ever done things comedy-wise, video-wise, that you regret? And I say yes. About 95% of what I put out there usually comes back on me in some kind of way. Because you got to remember, if you move with the times, honestly, you look back at that time and you're like, wow, that's not funny
anymore. Definitely.
Or that was so immature. Or like, why did I do that?
I look back on old posts I put on Facebook from over a year ago. I'm just like, I can't believe I would put that on there.
Yeah, I can't believe some of the stuff you put on there yesterday.
Well, you know, it was mac and cheese night, and it got really hot and cheesy, and it just didn't end well for me.
I don't know what kind of self issues you're having right now, but you really need to stop with the mac and cheese.
You put them in the microwave for 3 minutes and it's done.
I know, but you don't bring them to bed with you and pour them on.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yes, you can go wrong. That's the wrong way to eat mac and cheese.
If it's hot, I try to let it cool for at least
2 minutes.
Dude,
why do you want macaroni and cheese all over your body? I gotta come home to you laying in a bed of pasta.
It's like a facial rub.
Okay. Okay.
A greasy facial rub.
Okay, I'm gonna move on because that is gross, man.
Don't judge me.
But yeah, to answer everybody's questions, I do post quite a few things. Like, a great example is, like, my stand-up. Like, I by the way, started stand-up out of mere chance. Like, it was one of those things where, and I guess this is, like, for another day, but real quick, it was one of those things. This does fit into my identity, because back when I was in high school, some of you may or may not know that I was almost 300 pounds back when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So, and I'm talking 2004, 2005. My senior year, especially, I was 285 pounds in November.
Wow.
And my feelings towards myself, you know, up to that point, generally, if you ask somebody, they would consider me to be a good guy, a nice guy, but definitely a shy guy,
yeah.
A very shy person. I was always to myself. Observing. I always had these funny things within me. I always had these ideas, and sometimes I would write them out or try to express them to family and very close friends, but I could never go out on a limb and expose myself to my peers in school because I never felt accepted.
Yeah.
Because I never really accepted the way that I had looked.
Hmm.
So the way that I had looked had, you know, kind of poured over into the way that I perceived my personality to be.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, is a big guy, and some of you can probably relate to this. I always felt like a downer. I always felt like I was never really accepted by the general audience and peers and stuff, as I said. And honestly, it was extremely hard for me to translate my humor, my everyday like feelings
yeah.
to people. And honestly, you know, from that point on, you know, in the year. Senior year, and by the way, I went to high school, and then I went to a tech school for college credits, where I was in interactive multimedia, doing broadcasting and entertainment, and you know, editing and stuff like that. But when asked at the very end of the school year, or kind of close to the end of the school year, asked by the teacher, "What would you guys leaving high school? What do you guys see yourself doing? Is it college? Is it this? Is it that? Where do you see yourself going?" And I quickly had. For some reason, a jolt in me that to just raise my hand, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was saying. This was the first time that I actually saw real comedy, like a couple weekends ago on TV, and then stand-up comedy, I should say. And then my teacher asked, "Well, you know, yes, Dan, what would you like to be when you get out of school?" And I said, "A stand-up comedian." And he laughed so freaking hard. And again, this is probably the best. I've ever got anybody laugh at me around that time. It's gotten better, but he laughed so hard. He tried to withhold his laughter, but he couldn't, because somebody like me, this big guy that was very withheld and in his shell, to go up on a stage to see me doing something like that, unheard of.
Yeah,
you would have laughed at me too. And again, And then he had the audacity to say, I don't see you being a stand-up comedian, Dan. And I don't know why I'm making him sound like an old-timer, by the way. He was more like a
you're doing condescending.
He was a condescending. Yeah, now he's an old geezer. I was doing a weird voice. But he was like, Dan, I don't see you being a stand-up comedian. But what I would like to see you do is to be a car salesman. I really do think that you are good at talking to people, but I don't feel like you're confident enough or funny enough to go up on stage. And I was like, what just happened? Like, did my teacher, my leader, my guidance just tell me that I am not funny enough to do what I would love to do?
And aren't teachers supposed to encourage your hopes and goals and dreams and aspirations out of high school?
That's my point exactly. Like, I don't get, like, why he said such things. But to this day, and I will always tell people this story because, honestly, I don't know whether to thank him or to just go rub it in his face.
He gave you the motivation.
But the thing is he did. He gave me the motivation. If I can pinpoint the time that I was like, I will prove you wrong. And I said that. And a couple weeks later, it was getting closer to the end of the school, I set up my own stand-up comedy. I was going to, you know, I was graduating, so I had my graduating party. I set up my own show. And then at that point, I invited him. And he said that he would come. And he said he would come see it. But he didn't. Which, which clearly, he just was like, man, I am sitting this one out. Good luck. And he didn't show up. But a couple of my friends did. And I felt really great about how it went, which is really funny because I have it on video. A lot of people do not know that 2005 was actually legit my first show, and I actually have the footage of when, not only when I was doing my first stand-up comedy, but when I was obese, and it's quite hard to look at, but it's a good memory in the sense that it pushed me to go to the clubs years later and to get a lot of that stuff out on stage. My point is, I lost the weight in 2007. I went from 285 pounds in 2005 to 150 pounds in 2007.
Significant weight loss.
Yes, significant weight loss. Was not, you know, and a lot of people know this by now, it was not healthy, the healthy way. It was all pills, not drugs, like, well, I guess supplements. You know, a lot of working out, a lot of eating right, pills, and cutting out pop and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll get into weight loss talk another day, I guess. But the confidence that I had at that point was substantial. And the important part to take out of that is when I first started comedy, when I legit first started comedy, and then I'm going to let you talk because I'm rambling here. when I legit first started comedy, I was trying to be someone that I was not. I lost all the weight. I saw myself being successful. I saw myself doing things that I loved doing. But honestly, I did not know who I was.
Yeah.
I did not develop who I was. So I was going out there on stage every week, a couple nights a week sometimes, pushing out these jokes, you know, stuff like that, trying to express myself in such a way that people would accept me and that people would like me.
Yeah.
And I would go up there loving making people laugh and was really good at it at the time. For the time, you know, that I started, I surprised myself. But also, I was trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
And I was trying anybody that I could be because I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
I didn't have a personality. But yeah, this just got deep.
Yeah.
Like, deep, man.
I see a tear coming down your eye.
That's not a tear. It's hot in here.
You're making me.
It's a couple tears.
It's five.
It's a tier. It's not five.
It's okay.
Four. More like three and a half.
Three and a half.
Can I use your shirt?
Here you go.
Who's hugging me, man? Why'd you pull that out?
What?
Oh, why'd you do that?
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
Thought we were getting close here.
No, man. You touched my mom.
Car-wise.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, because I don't even feel like I really got to the point that I was trying to make. I just started talking about myself and rambling. And I did not mean to do that, but I just wanted to give some insight. Well, what about you, man? I mean, real quick, what about real quick? I get 5 minutes and you get 2 seconds. No, just kind of give us a little bit of a, like, you know, kind of a brief.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back in middle school, you know, after my mom and dad got divorced and everything, when I
time's up. Sorry to hear that. I really appreciate you.
Go ahead. Having the clock out now. Go ahead.
We got 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was back in middle school, after my mom and dad got divorced, you know, I got made fun of a lot for my last name being Roach and stuff like that. And, you know, it got to a point to, you know, where I was thinking, like, you know, I've heard every, you know, joke or anything in the book. And, you know, for some reason, people just did not like me in middle school. I couldn't pinpoint it. I couldn't do anything. I changed the way I dressed. I changed the way I acted. I changed the way I did my hair in the morning. Perm. And, you know, it just didn't seem to matter, you know, how, you know, all those changes that I tried making, it didn't really seem to matter. They still, you know, didn't really give a shit about me.
Right.
And, you know, they would still try to pick on me and still try to make fun of me and stuff like that. And I'll admit, when I was in 5th and 6th grade, I let them do it. I was a pushover.
Right.
Once I got to 7th and 8th grade, you know, I kind of stood my ground, and it's when it kind of started dying down is when I was, you know, they knew I wasn't going to take it anymore.
Right.
And when
You started working out, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit, actually.
A little bit. You're a liar.
And, you know, when I got to high school, I kind of stayed in that persona, you know, the way I dressed and the way I did my hair and everything like that. And eventually I stopped doing the hair. I just got up and wetted it down and just went to school. And, you know, throughout the years, you know, in high school, you know, you got the jocks, you got the preps, you got the goth, you know, the gothics, and, you know, you got your own little core group in high school that you hang out with.
They don't appreciate being called that,
I guess, but yeah. That's just the way I was brought up.
Okay, yeah.
And anyway, but
prejudice,
you know,
you
got your core groups in high school, and then you got the outcasts, the nerds, the geeks.
Quit talking about me, man.
It doesn't refrain to you.
Okay.
And you know, I kind of, I wouldn't say I was a nerd, because for God's sakes, I hardly did my homework. I wouldn't say I was a jock, even though football is my favorite sport.
It's a burnout.
I never played it.
You're a retard.
Well,
you're in special classes.
That's for another segment.
So basically, the gist of it all.
The gist of it was, you know, like, people, when they looked at me, they thought I was a, you know, a mean guy. They thought, oh, this kid, you know, if you talk to him, he's going to start a fight with you. You get to know me, you know, I'm not that type of person, but, you know, just the way I presented myself in high school.
Yeah.
The way I, you know, wore myself, I guess.
Yeah. And,
you know,
oh, go ahead.
And, you know, I really didn't know who I was, you know, I mean, you know, I was just the kid that, you know, you got to know me, I was cool to talk to, I was fun, you know, I was funny, all this stuff, and, you know, it's just, you know, you gotta take the time out to get to know someone before you're judging them, get to, you know, find out who they are, that way you can determine the type of person you are, to, you know, who you want to hang out with.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, basically, I think what you're trying to say is, like, get to know people on a better level than their parents. And one thing that I just want to say real quick, I have lost weight, I have gained weight back.
Oh, so have I.
And the hardest thing, and real quick, I just want to say, the hardest thing about that is, one, who does it matter to the most? Other people. And here's why. One, I should be the only one concerned with my weight loss and my appearance. Yes, those are things, battles that I work on every day, and those are my own self issues to deal with. But it's so weird because my mentality, you know, this second time around trying to lose again, is not for what other people see me to be. And honestly, I think that that's why, in the same sense, I don't do as much effort toward it, and which is dangerous. But at the same time, you know, I want to be healthy and everything. Yeah. But I don't feel like pleasing people anymore.
Yeah.
And my point is I, you know, I have some malfunctions with my appearance. And I know that I'm a chapper young man. I know that I am a chapper is a dapper. I don't really care. I know that I have a good appearance. I know that there's room for growth and change, and but I am comfortable with who I am on the inside, and that is the most important thing to me. It has taken me up until this year, honestly, to develop a personality, and that is sad.
Same for me too. I mean, 2 years ago, I was quiet, shy. I wasn't really outgoing that much. Didn't really want to do anything. And it took me a good almost 2 years to finally break out of my shell and, you know, find out the type of person I like being.
And here's the thing, because we got to wrap up real quick. I just want to get a couple quick things in there real quick. Corey and I are talking about ourselves because we're the only people talking.
Yeah.
But if you're out there and you're like me, or if you can relate to me or him on any level, just take this with you. I hate to get really sappy on you, but I really want you to grasp what we're trying to get at here. Your appearance is not going to be important in 50, 60 years.
Not at all.
It's going to be the past. And yes, it's important to get, you know, physical, not get physical, well, that's important, but yeah, to get a physical shape, you know, something that you like, a good appearance, you know, a good, the way that you see yourself. And you should always be trying to fix yourself the way that you will see yourself, and not the way that other people will see you. Don't look at magazines. Don't look at movie stars that have had hours of makeup, by the way.
Yep.
Most of them have had surgery. And they get to a point where they get on screen and they've had all these hours of fixed makeup and everything. And then you see that person and you say, I want to be exactly like that. You try to emulate their looks.
Yep.
You try to emulate their personas, which, by the way, when they leave all that shit at the end of the day, they go take a big shit.
Exactly.
We all take a big shit. And we all feel like shit at one point or another. And when we're trying to be Lady Gaga, which, by the way, you got to stop doing that.
I know.
Or when we're trying to be, you know, whoever, Madonna, rappers. I don't know why I just said Madonna and Lady Gaga. Like, there's other people that we're trying to be, you know, movie stars, comedians, everything.
Johnny Depp.
Okay, you got to put that away. But those things, with those things, we want to always remember and remain cognizant that those people are icons in the sense that, yes, they are very glamorous, and it would be lovely to be in their shoes. But remember, you are not in their shoes. You are in your shoes.
Yep.
And if your shoes fit the way that you like, then you shouldn't go out trying to find a new pair.
Exactly.
And if you have nice things, you should love and take care of those nice things. Quit trying to replace the nice things that you already have.
Yep.
Quit always trying to better yourself for other people's eyes, and quit trying to buy things and get the latest and greatest just because you want to be accepted into that society. Try to develop yourself as a person. Try to come up with a character of who you are. Develop
yep.
your personality. Develop your character. Become something that is better than the norm. Embrace those weird things that when in the back of your mind you tell yourself that I can't go tell people that this is what I'm about because they will laugh at me. That should push you. That one thing that you tell yourself in your mind every day, I did this, but I can't tell them or they will not like it. That is one thing that you should challenge yourself to do and say, hey guys, I did this. Guess what? This is who I am.
I like to draw unicorns.
Okay, we'll talk about that. And I'm sure that that's something that you will...
I've never told anyone before.
Well, I can appreciate that. And I appreciate your honesty. But those are the things. Those are great examples of some things that you really need to get out there in the open. And you should always expose yourself. And that's not to say, you know, tell your deepest, darkest secrets. Because, you know, we all have skeletons in our closet. And some of those things we're going to take to our grave, whether we should or shouldn't. But that's between you, yourself, and whoever you answer to.
Yep.
But the point that I'm trying to make, and we got literally only 2 minutes left, is don't take years of trying on different clothes to wear the person inside. And if you can share your personality, and that alone should be enough for people to like you. And never go outside of your comfort zone. Always be trying to push yourself. And be who you are. Did you want to say something real quick?
I mean, you know, just think of it this way. The friends that you keep 60 to 60 years down the road from now, they're not staying because of your looks. They're staying because of your personality.
Exactly. And who's to say we'll even be around that long? I mean, I hope you and I grow old together. I mean, grow old as people. We'll live.
Yeah, we got a little sappy there. But
well, you know,
a little deep.
We'll change each other's diapers.
Touché.
Okay, well, we're in the last minute, and I really feel like these half-hour things are not that long, but then
no,
again, it's because...
Go by pretty quick.
Yeah, I ramble. So, the gist of today is identity, and I feel like that we're going to have another episode next week extending that, because there's a bunch of stories that I wanted to get out and tell you guys about, and they're pretty funny, I would say. It's always hard throwing out stuff when you can't really hear people's response, but I don't really care. I don't have the time to worry about that. I am Dan Nelson.
And I'm Corey Roach.
And this has been NAD X. I almost said NAD Reflections. This has been NAD X, Never Accept Darkness Experiment. Keep coming back. Again, check us out on iTunes. Download our free blogs, podcasts, and make a site here on audioboo.com and give us your comments, your concerns, your feedback, your criticism. And that's it. That's all I really have to say.
Never say never.
Okay, well, I'm going to go because Corey's singing weird stuff and he's getting up and he's dancing right now. I really got to let you guys go. This has been really